recently, after 25 years in ministry, I wanted to have a deeper and better understanding on one thing. That is the heart, the human heart. Not that I wanted to become a cardiologist or even a psychologist. It seems to me that everything in our life, both good and bad, stems from the heart. Think of such as kindness and love. We all know that they are coming from the heart. What about greed or even hate? Yes, we all know that they're originated from heart as well. It seems to me heart matters in every relationship, first with God and with people. So this is how I reasoned myself. If I had a better understanding of the heart, I would have a better understanding of myself to begin with and others. And therefore, it'll bring forth the better relationships with God and with each other. So I started my study several months ago on the subject of heart. It still has a long way to go before I can even say that I begin to understand what the human heart is all about. This morning, you are about to hear my preliminary, if you will, study on the subject. In fact, I'm going to do a three-part sermon series in the next three Sundays. I hope and I pray that the series will lead all of us to a better understanding and better care of our hearts and better relationships in the end. So here's part one of three. What is the heart? Now let me begin with what I mean by heart. Okay, there are three definitions available. Medical / scientific, if you will. Second definition, poetic / artistic. And third, spiritual / scriptural. Medical definition, you don't need any further explanation. What is the heart? A hollow muscular organ right here that pumps the blood through this circulatory system by rhythmic contraction and dilation. Good definition. What a poetic / artistic understanding of the heart. It is the center of the total personality, especially with reference to intuition, feeling, or emotion. What about the spiritual / scriptural understanding of the heart? It is the innermost seat of emotion, mind, will, conscience, and appetites. Now, this morning we are, of course, going to strictly focus on the scriptural sense of the heart as the innermost seat of emotion, thoughts, will, and appetites. You see, you and I are so accustomed and trained to think this way. Our Western mindset is tuned to the separation of heart and mind. Let's say, oh, I have all the head knowledge here, but somehow I have to connect to my heart. We all constantly talk about that, right? Somehow we're trained to think that way due to the Platonic distinction. It was thanks to Plato and his followers started separating them. You know, there are two separate things, heart and mind and so forth. Now, please note here that I make no distinction between heart and mind or emotion and intellect, because the scriptures indeed do not make a clear-cut distinction between the two. I'm just following what the scriptures did. In fact, the ancient Hebrews believed that all the characteristics of quote-unquote modern-day heart and mind, okay, were interconnected, and they were originated from one entity, not two. And they called that one entity heart in the Bible. And so will I. So whenever, in the next three Sundays, whenever you hear me saying the heart, it covers both the mind as well as emotions. There's no distinction here, okay? I discovered in the Bible there are three kinds of heart. recorded in the Bible. The first one is, of course, heart of God. Second is heart of man. And third, heart of beast. I'm sure you all know about this. Let's think about heart of God first. I'm so thankful and glad to tell you that God too has heart. God's heart alone deserves another full 25-minute sermon for another time. So I'll spare you today, but this is how much I'll tell you though. Out of his heart, God created the heavens and the earth, intellect part. Out of his heart, God has chosen you and me to be his children, his will. Out of his heart, God loves us unconditionally, emotional part. To God, each soul, yours and mine, is equally valuable, sinners and saints alike. You know, I love Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, which says, God causes the sun, S-U-N, to rise every day on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God never gives up on anyone unless they reject him first. In fact, his loving kindness and generosity and mercy endure forever, the scripture says. You know, each time I think of God's loving kindness and faithfulness and generosity and mercy, just blows my mind away. All out of his loving heart. Isn't it so wonderful you and I worship and belong to such a God with a loving heart? What about the heart of man, human heart? When God created Adam and Eve in the beginning, in his image and likeness, God has given them the heart that shared the characteristics of God's heart, such as pure and innocent, loving and kind, and creative, and no sign or touch of evil at all at the beginning. However, when they disobeyed God, sin came in, the scripture says, and that changed everything. In fact, sin corrupted the human heart to the core and forever. Theologians call it, you know, sinful nature or human depravity. Now, for instance, you know, from Adam's time to the days of Noah, there's, you know, generations gap there, and God was patiently waiting and waiting, and until the days of Noah, the scripture says God was deeply grieved with the human heart and the condition, especially the constant evil thoughts of humans, to the point where God says, I regret that I had created human race. So he wanted to have a new start. So he did so with Noah's eight, you know, we call eight members in Noah's family. So he sent 40 days and 40 nights of unstopping rain, and that flooded the earth and wiped humanity off, except for Noah's eight. However, one thing I noticed is this. Noah's eight, they were spared, still they carried the old heart with the same condition, depraved as before. I wonder, time will improve the condition of the heart. Thousands of years later, God described the condition of the heart to prophet Jeremiah as follows. That's the today's reading. Actually, that's God saying to prophet Jeremiah about the human heart. He says, the heart you have is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Now you move your timetable for under 3,000 years, because Jeremiah was active around 600 before Christ was born. At 2,000 years, we are in the 21st century, almost 3,000 years later. If you think of and diagnose the human heart, what diagnosis would you give? This is, I would say, our heart is still more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. It's interesting that God used the word, your heart is sick. You know, a couple of days ago I was reading the news, and of course one of them was about ISIS. There was a man who cut off his mother's head. How many of you read that one? Only a few. I was so shocked. What happened that the mother says to the son, no, son, I don't want you to join the ISIS. And the son somehow reported that to the ISIS authorities, and they said, you go and behead your own mother. And he did. And I thought, what's going on? You see, that kind of thing could happen, and all because of this man's heart. And I could not deny what God says. Heart is desperately sick. Anyway, we talked about God's heart, we talked about human heart, and the heart of beasts. To my pleasant surprise, there is only one reference in the Bible talks about the heart of beasts, which demonstrates the basic instincts of survival, such as no reason, no ability to create, no conscience, and no reverence of life. Basically, the heart of beasts only knows daily survival among prey and predators. And it's interesting, there was one man actually experienced it and had it, the heart of beasts, for 7 years. Anyone knows who that man is? King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was also, the scripture says, Daniel 5, was driven away from mankind, and his heart was made like that of beasts. And his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. In other words, he stayed with them for 7 years, and he was given grass to eat like the cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until finally, 7 years later, he came back to man's heart. Because the scripture says, before that, the reason why he turned into the heart of beasts was because he was so arrogant before God. He said, I'm the ruler of the universe. And God says, really? And after 7 years, this is what the scripture says. He recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind, and that God sets over it whomever he wishes. It's interesting. Anyway, my focus will be this morning on the human heart. Okay, let's move on. So what's happening in our heart? You see, you can forget all the rest of my sermon, except this one. I want you to remember this. Your heart and mind is a battleground between God and the enemy of God, which is the devil, who vie for your worship, devotion, and affection in your heart. Let me repeat. Your heart is a battleground between God and the enemy of God, who vie for your worship, devotion, and affection. And here's the typical example. If you read Luke chapter 8, verse 11, you will read the parable of the sower. Jesus, talking about sower, goes out and spread the seeds in the field. And some seeds fell on the ground, not on the field, but on the pathway. And the birds came and just devoured them up. And the second one is, you know, seeds fell on the rocks. And the third one is among the thorn bush. And the last one is on the good soil. You heard of this parable. And Jesus explained later to his disciples in private, because they asked. And Jesus says, you know, the one who sows plants the seeds is the word of God. And the birds, the devil, the enemy, what do? Come and snatches away the word, the seed, before it begins to root down. God sows the word of God in the heart, and the devil snatches away the word sown in the heart. Remember, your heart is like an open bowl, and both God and the devil have access to it. And in fact, there are three parties have access to your heart: yourself, God, and the devil. And all of them can throw in and take out any thoughts in and out of your heart. Now let's think about those three beings a little more, beginning with yourself. You and I can initiate and retain and remove any thoughts, any wishes, and any plans in our hearts, either good or bad. Here are some examples of what you and I could do with our own hearts. First of all, scripture says, we can humble ourselves and incline our hearts to God. You know, there's a wonderful phrase that follow your heart, follow your heart. But you know what? Be careful. Sometimes you follow the heart and going into the ditch. See? You gotta take in control, take the ownership that you are in charge of your heart. Why? Because the scripture says, incline your heart to God. Who's gonna take that action on your hearts? You. Not your heart. Okay? Sunday morning, oh, it's 1 hour before the service, and I'm so tired, I'd rather stay in bed, and blah, blah, blah. At the time, don't follow your heart. Take in charge and say, I'm gonna bring my heart to God. Okay? Now, second, Proverbs 4:23 says this. God says, watch over your heart with all diligence. And if you're thinking, who's in charge? Who's gonna watch over my own heart? Not your heart, but you. Okay? God is giving the command to you. Okay? Don't forget. And third, we can also neglect the care of our heart. Therefore, let our heart be defiled, like abandoned. If you think in any garden, you never weeded that before, you know, full of weeds and growing all kinds of weeds and, you know, wildflowers, whatever, your heart could be in that state. Now, see what happens to the heart that is neglected and not properly cared after by you or not protected from the devil. Now, listen to Jesus in Mark chapter 7. Jesus is talking about the human heart here. He says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deed of coveting and wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things, he says, proceed from within and defile the man, the individual. Is it clear to you? If you don't do anything about your heart, most of us don't, what happens? In the end, from within, all kinds of evil thoughts will come out. Okay? Now, enough talk about ourselves. Let's move on to the second being who has influence on our heart, which is the devil. Now, too many of us, a Christian, have a very naive understanding of the devil. Some of us think that he is not real, and others believe that it is just a personification of evil, and others depict the devil as the guy holding a pitchfork with two horns on his head and a tail. Or a cute little guy sitting on our shoulder whispering to us. I'm sure most of us. But you know what? Devil is much more a cunning creature than those images. He has only one goal, the scripture says. What is that? To steal and kill and destroy your soul into hell. Let me say it again. He has one goal, that is to steal, to kill, and destroy your soul into hell. John chapter 10 verse 10. So in order to achieve his goal, he's a cunning creature, I told you. He diligently works on, first and foremost, where? On your heart. He enslaves your heart through what? Temptation, fear, deception, and confusion. Okay? And he snatches anything good and godly away from your heart, especially God's word sown in your heart. Remember several weeks ago, I experimented with the congregation, asking you, during my sermon time, count how many times your mind wanders off. Remember that experiment? One person came to me after the service and she says, 8 times, Pastor. Now, I give you typically about 25 minute long of sermon. Divided by 8 times, every 3 minutes, her mind was wandering off. And she felt pretty bad about that. I told her, no, it's not you. But let me tell you this. If you watch your favorite movie on TV, does your mind wander off every 3 minutes? No way. Why? Because sermon's boring? No, folks. It is so naive if you think that sermon's boring, therefore my mind goes off. No, it's not. Now, I begin to tell you the scripture secret and reality. Why it only happens when I listen to the sermon? Because while you're trying to concentrate on, your devil is at work. So he pops up a thought in your mind and you follow along. While you're following along that path, the devil snatches away the word of God just planted in your heart. That's what's happening. Okay? So remember, you are in charge. Each time it pops up, you need to bring your heart back. No, you don't go anywhere. Stay focused here. Because it's God's word is being planted in your heart. Okay? Now, once he achieves that one, take away all the good stuff from your heart, then he begins to fill up your heart with evil, unclean, and negative and destructive thoughts.
that you and I often think and take as ours. That's one of the biggest tragedy. We tend to think all the bad things and negative thoughts originate from me, from us. No, folks. Now, if you don't listen, I just trust what I said. Listen to John chapter 13, verse 2. The setting is this. The context is this. It was the night before Jesus was crucified, and Jesus, along with his 12 disciples, had dinner, Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, verse 2 says that the devil, Satan, prompted the thought of betrayal into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Now, the Greek word for prompting is literally throwing into. If you ever throw the basketball, that's exactly what it is. He was throwing the thought of betrayal into what? Judas' heart. It went in. The poor thing, Judas Iscariot, later on, he realized that he regretted it. Oh, I betrayed the innocent blood. You know what he did? He killed himself. Why? He was so remorseful. I'm such a terrible guy. I betrayed my master. He killed himself. But you know what? He misunderstood. The origin of the thought of betrayal wasn't he, but who? The devil. You see? So if you struggle with some destructive or negative thoughts, don't think that it is I. I'm still such a bad preacher. No. You have to learn. Maybe this is not from me. Okay? That's the first step you must realize. Number three. Third thing is, of course, God, who can have influence in our hearts and minds. He's the expert in the human heart, and he's the most interested party in our heart and your heart and mine. And our hearts are his business. In fact, God cares about our heart more than any one of us ever would. How much does he know about our heart? Everything, through and through. Remember, he's the designer and he's the creator of the heart, and he's the divine heart surgeon, may I say? He can make our sick hearts healthy again. In fact, I was pleasantly surprised to see that the Bible lists 32 things. 32 things that God can do and does with our heart. Just to name a few, he searches our heart, he weighs and examines and tests our heart, and strengthens and revives and renews our hearts, and changes our heart, and he even sets our heart free. You want to be free from all these negative thoughts and all these things? Where should you go? To God, of course. There's one thing I discovered, though, God never does to our own heart. You know what that is? Control. Control. He leaves the full reign of the heart to you and to me, to the point where we could use and abuse such freedom to even curse God, and God wouldn't do anything. Because you're using your authority to use your heart, even to curse the Creator. But God does not control your heart. And such a freedom is a sure sign of love. Because once God starts controlling all of us, it is no love anymore. Love never controls individuals. The good news is this. God can help you and me to remove all the evil, unclean, destructive, and negative thoughts. He also can fill our hearts with good and godly thoughts. He can purify and strengthen our hearts as well. And all these he would do only upon our invitation and our request. In other words, without our desire to keep our hearts in pure, clean, without our invitation, God would not do it. We must ask for his help from the heart. So I'm about to be done, folks. All you and I have a job to do, to take good care of our heart. You need to take in charge. If you don't, nobody will. Okay, so where do we start to those folks who want to take good care of your heart? First, I will start with ask God for his help today. If you do, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they all work together to help you. I'm not making this up, folks. This is backed up by the scripture. I found every single reference that I'm telling you. Back up scripture. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will work with you. But it all must begin with your invitation. And next week, we'll think about some practical ways to take care of our heart. Let's bow us and pray. We've been sleeping, Lord.
spiritually sound asleep too long. It's about time that we woke up, realizing that God has created and given us the beautiful something called heart. We've been neglecting the care, and we were following the wrong guide, in our case, our own heart. God says, heart is so deceitful among all, and it desperately needs the surgery. Lord, we humbly admit that our heart is so. Would you please come into our hearts and please help us and work with us. Grant us wisdom as well as courage, as well as discipline, so that we would truly enjoy the abundant life Christ has promised in us. In Christ's name, we pray.